Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa! They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound, the cool groove with the bum transplant.
Bone connected to my thigh bone connected to my leg bone connected to my ankle bone.
I get so hung up on bones. Dr. Funkenstein here,
preoccupied and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of hips.
We love you, Funkenstein, your bum is the best.
Talk!
Take my body and give it to mine to walk with the rest.
Kiss me on my ego. Lippin', ego trippin', and body snatchin'.
Don't blow your mind.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Pulling up the last leg of the beat pump. With your mind.
We love you, funk, you Funkenstein. Your funk is the best.
Let me hear it for me.
Take my body, give it to mine. You funk with the rest. Hit me with the one and win. If you like, hit me again.
Well,
we
right.
Love you, Funkenstein.
A microbiologically speaking, when I start churning, burning, and turning,
make your atoms move so fast, expanding your molecules, causing a friction fire, burning you on your neutron, causing you to scream, hit me in the proton. Baby.
Y'all got your sunglasses on out there.
Thank you.
tuned in to the Iceman Show. I am your host, the Iceman. More bounce to the ounce than I say what counts. Don't nobody go home to the fat man fucks. What's happening, chocolate people? What you got crack-a-lackin' here on the 8th episode of the Player Circle Podcast, presented by the Iceman Show. You could be doing anything else right now. You could be listening, watching, and listening to another proprietor's podcast. But thankfully, you came to hang out with the Iceman, and the Iceman gonna make it do what it do, baby. You know how we do it here on Iceman Radio, broadcasted all across the world. Yeah, digs. We got a little trap playing in the background, a little something I've been working on the NPC right here. NPCX. A little something I threw together a few months back. I don't know if I'm going to use it yet, but it does make you want to throw your W's up if you're from the West Coast. You know how we do it. This is Triple Cast Saturday. We are on 1, 2, 3 different platforms at the same time. We're on Facebook Live, we're on YouTube Live, and we're on blogtalkradio.com/The Iceman Show. Three. Now, where in the stratosphere can you get a triple cast? I'll wait. Huh? Nowhere else can you get a triple cast. The first of its kind. Yeah, digs. Like to welcome everybody on Facebook Live, YouTube live stream, and blogtalkradio.com. Remember, if you want to be on the air, live on the Player Circle Podcast, and be on Blog Talk Radio's platform, the guest call-in number is area code 646-668-2291. Guest call-in again is 646-668-2291. You tuned in to the Player Circle Podcast. You know, on those of you who are just tuning in, and maybe this is your first time getting at the Iceman, Saturdays are dating and relationships only. We do talk about how economics, politics, and society affect dating. Yeah, we do get into that, but we don't, you know, the Iceman Show during the week, we deal with that stuff, with social, political stuff. That's what we deal with on there. Today, we want to have fun. So we invite everybody to go, you know, get your brandy snifter. I know that's what my man, Mr. McMillan, he probably got his little brandy snifter and got a little, just a touch of, you know, that Hennessy XOXO in there. You know, he's sitting there chilling with his cigar, one of his Cubans, getting at the Iceman like he always does. Your digs. So kick back, get your wine. I know these ladies love the wine. You know, sit back. You know, if you like a little puff on a little ale while you listening and watching the Iceman, hey, we could do that too, man. You know, hopefully you hit your weed connect up before the show, you know, because we don't do halftime. We go hard in the paint, 2-3 hours, even 4 hours. I think the longest I've ever been on a live stream was 5 hours. I didn't realize that I realized I had been on there over 3. But that last hour and a half went by so fast, we was having fun. So I got 5-hour video. That's why guys be like, hey, Ice, I can't, but you know, I can't sit there all day listening to no 4-hour show, man. I get behind at work. So I'm just like, they like, man, I listen to about 30 minutes and be cracking up. Then I go back to work. Then I'll pick it up where I left off the day before. But the guys are appreciative of a longer format. So, you know, we make it do what it do. This show is your show. I'm just the curator of it. But we're talking about dating relationships, as we always do here on the Iceman Show. Presents the Player Circle Podcast. Thought you got me, didn't you? That I forgot. Not so fast, homie. Not so fast. Not so fast, player. No, you thought you got me, but nah. Old school, I'm still on top of it. I might be old school, but I'm on top of it. Got my Buffalo Soldier hat on. Got my man Bob Marley. You know, damn shirt's supposed to be a large. Man, I put this damn thing on. I thought I got it from Baby Gap. I'm like, man, what large people are they talking about? I mean, who are they putting these shirts on, little kids? Because this ain't couldn't be a, I don't feel like this is a large. Shit. But you can support the cause. Just, you know, if you just join us and you don't know any better, we're going to cut you some slack this time. But this podcast, we do donations here on the show. I have a 501c3, an active one. If you go to asktheiceman.com and scroll down to donate, it'll have everything listed there. You can cut, copy, and paste it and run it through irs.gov search for active nonprofits, and I guarantee it'll pop up. No, I ain't shitting you. So please donate, man. This is $10 Saturday. We do a minimum of $10. Everything you donate is tax deductible. Okay? So I'm challenging everybody today on Facebook Live, on Blog Talk Radio, and on YouTube live stream to do what you always do every Saturday. Donate that $10 minimum or more and print your paperwork out. And then when you go to your tax guy or tax lady next year, 2019, you have all your ducks in a row and you can get that tax deduction because you made a charitable donation. But wait till it builds up, though. Then print it out because it'll give you a summary of what you've spent on PayPal. And then that's what you take to your tax person. You digs? But, you know, this podcast doesn't run on fumes. So I tell everybody all the time, this is technically a pay-per-view podcast, but we're not asking you to pay $25 fee. We're asking you to pay to donate $10. I'm a veterans advocate. I'm an inner city youth advocate. The donation, I do a lot of outreach work. With visiting homeless people in the field, because I'm always out helping out black families who are financially insecure right now to keep them from losing their place. I might pay their rent for a month or 2 months until they get back on their feet, or that somebody can get out there and get another job or get a job. That's the stuff I do. I look out for my people. And if you've been rocking with me since October 2010, since the inception of the Iceman Show first and now the Player Circle Podcast, you know I've been kicking the reel. This has been the Real Talk Express for years. We talk, you know, on the particular show, the Iceman show, we talk about socioeconomic and political issues, the issues of the day. We are the new black media, and whatever that crap you look at on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, the propaganda channels, you know you ain't going to get no real news on there, real talk. You just up there bullshitting. Which is what a lot of people like to do. They hear themselves bloviate. Thank you guys, man. Appreciate it. Facebook, you can donate too. It's $10 Saturday. You can either go to the link that says PayPal, MEP dashboard. You can go straight. You can click and copy and paste that or click on it. That'll take you directly to my PayPal page for my nonprofit. Please donate $10 today. You know, this is the holiday season, and I try to send these checks out. If I don't participate physically, I would have to send them. I got to send the checks out usually about a week before Christmas. I try to do it before then, though. Okay? You can either go to asktheiceman.com or copy and paste that link. Remember, the guest call-in number was area code 646-668-2291. We're talking about today, Big Pimpin'. We're talking about being inside the mind of a gold digger. And we're going to talk about the psychopathology of that mindset and why it is detrimental in the long term for a woman to be a gold digger. Because gold digging is like a drug. How many people you know kick drugs without rehab? Not too many. So if they've netted a lot of quantifiable results from gold digging, who's going to keep them from stopping? They ain't going to want to stop. You digs? It's addictive. But anyway, we're going to talk about how to get what you want out of them, but you need to be advanced. Your player skills better be on fleet, player, because this lady ain't nobody to mess with. You digs? So call in, man. If you guys call in so you can be on the air. Guest calling number is 646-668-2291. Gold diggers are nothing new. A gold digger is nothing new. Everybody has been exposed to one, or either they are one. Thank you, Ty Cromwell. By the way, I thank you guys, all of you guys who have donated last night and today. But here's the thing about gold diggers. Most men believe that when a woman subscribes to gold digging, that her hustle is on fleek and his isn't. A lot of guys give deference to gold diggers with the mindset of, well, I'm outgunned, I'm outmatched. She deserves to act like that toward men. Well, when I get to the pathological side of gold digging, you're not going to think that way. You're not going to think so. See, these women are dangerous, but they're only as dangerous as the men who deal with them. If you're a guy that knows how to say no, gold diggers ain't going to have no effect on you. Because you still ain't going to do what you ain't going to want to do. If you tell your gold digging bitch that, hey, you know, she say, well, I want to get this, this, and this. And you say, hey, look, bitch, your limit per day is, you know, a couple hundred dollars. I ain't made of money. You can't have that. No. Well, obviously, he going to have to deal with the consequences of him saying no to his little gold digging bitch. Now, I don't know if that's his wifey or what, but we don't know. That's X. We don't know. That's a variable we don't know, and we damn sure can't control. You don't know what their arrangement is. Hell, she might be scrubbing the ceiling. She might be his personal assistant too. You don't never know. You know, people tend to get ass in close, you know, vicinity, you know, close proximity. That's the first person you're going to bone. It's someone within, you know, that first degree of separation. But the reason why gold diggers are dangerous, it's not what she'll do to you, it's what you allow her to do to you. And how stable is the mentality? Let me rephrase that. What's the mental strength? Let me just keep it simple. What's the mental strength and constitution of the guy that's possible if he is dealing with a gold digger and he is inexperienced? What is the damage? What's the fallout going to be for him? Is he going to be so depressed? He going to want to kill himself? Y'all see where I'm going with this? And you get that a lot with a lot of white dudes over the years. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen, mainly amongst white simps. They'll be getting led around by the nose by a female, and when they finally, when the jig is up and the caper is exposed, he's sitting there looking like, damn, how could I didn't, you know, peep game months or years ago when I first got with this broad? Y'all see where I'm going with this? So he's gonna want to kill himself because he's like, man, I'm embarrassed. This woman made a fool out of me for 14 years. That's gonna come up. And some guys can't handle that. Some guys cry. Some guys got to go out in the backyard and shoot their guns. Some guys got to go off-road, whatever way you got to cope. Because coping means hopefully you can keep from hurting yourself at arm's length. You can always keep that possibility of you crossing the line at arm's length. Now you got some wiggle room. You got a chance to hopefully your mental state will stabilize and you can cognitively formulate a plan so that you don't hurt yourself. Or you at least take it to a point where you got some kind of release mechanism. Maybe you need to go bang a bunch of honeys. Maybe you need to go some people say they just drink themselves to a stupor for days until they start feeling better. Some people do that. Some people get high. Some people smoke weed the whole day, take off 3 or 4 days and just, smoke weed. Or get high. Smoking weed. Same damn thing. But like I said, it's going to keep him from doing something where he's going to push himself over the edge. Some people can get down like that at any time. This is the time of the year in December before Christmas that a lot of people get a real emotional about their situation. They're like, hey, man, my whole family dead. I ain't got nobody left. I'm an old person. I'm an old man. Now, all I do is sit around all day and watch Matlock and Mannix. To some people, watching a bunch of Golden Girls reruns and Matlock reruns, you realize that you might want to just end it all, being that your life has disintegrated to that level or degenerated to that level. Some people can't handle that. So let me turn this gas on. Okay. Motherfucker laid up in the house, stiff as a motherfucker. Then inhale that goddamn natural gas. Some people can't take it, man. What's the mental state of the individual that's going to get dogged out? Because it's an inevitability that you dealing with a gold digger, you're going to end up hurt, miserable, and just emotionally broken. How you gonna handle them shits? And I keep hammering this point home because I know there are a lot of guys out here who are straight up simps. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just telling the truth. Straight up simps. And how are you gonna handle? Because some guys, they feel like that's the only way they're going to get a woman's attention is by simping or tricking. Tricks are a little bit more confident. There's subtle differences between the two. There's major differences between the two. But there's also some parallels and some very minute comparisons between the two. You can actually be a simp and a trick. Tricks mainly use tricking to get ass. They don't want relationships. They just want access to ass. And after they cut a couple of times, they dip. They just want to hit it about 2 or 3 times. I used to do that. After I hit it 2 or 3 times, I didn't want to see you no more. It wasn't because of sex. The sex could have been off the chain. I'm just like, I ain't looking for no relationship. And I don't want to be put under pressure. Because you got to understand, when women get close to my age or they get my age, they want to get married again. Even if they've never been married, they want to get married just for appearance's sake. Because, a woman, it means something to a woman to die and they never had a husband. So when you don't, like, see, you got to understand, but the one thing that Simpson Tricks have in common totally is that neither one of them have standards. I'm not talking about just looks in women. I'm saying the quality of these women's hearts and minds was such that us looking at that whole interaction with those Simps and Tricks and them women, is that what we infer from that is that these guys totally wasted their time. Because when you get my age, time is a luxury. You could be healthy as a motherfucker. That don't mean nothing. Time is something a guy my age or a woman my age is going to take lightly. Not if they mature. If they're mature, they think the way I think. Hey, time is of the essence. Which means time is valuable, way more than money. That's why people tend to want to spend less the older they get, because they don't know what their situation going to be. They could get sick. They get in a car accident or something. They don't know. They're a little bit more fearful of the unknown. So they want to spend the least amount of money. That's why some people, they just go ahead and get in them assisted living facilities, but they get in one that suits their lifestyle. If all they want to do is sit up there and eat banquet TV dinners or pot pies on that old-ass metal TV tray while they watch Matlock and Mannix all day and Hogan's Heroes, then they're going to stay at a place where they can do that. But if they're still active, but they don't want the responsibilities of a house or to be around children living in a regular apartment complex, then they tend to go, if they have the income, they tend to go to those assisted living facilities where it's damn near like a country club. The more expensive ones have golf courses, all kinds of shit, man. They ain't just got them, you know, dance classes and yoga classes and casino night and stuff like that. They don't just do that stuff or have a gym on site. We're talking about acres and acres of assisted living condos, semi-attached. And some are attached. It's a little bit more of the regular life in life in the U.S., but they're still in an assisted living facility property. But we're talking about the little community with just a couple of buildings. Those are less expensive. If your Social Security is $1,800 a month, and it only costs $1,500 a month to live there and get meals, people tend to say, hey, that last $300, whatever. Because some of them, that's cable and everything. Their meals are included, all activities, the gym is included, all the common areas are included. But it ranges from what you can pay. If you could pay $5,000 a month, you're going to be on one of them golf course resort-type retirement communities where it's not necessarily assisted living, because assisted living means you still need some medical care. It means that the LVN or the registered nurse, that usually is going to be a registered nurse or LVN or LPN, come in, take people's blood pressure, check their vitals. That costs a couple of dollars to get that. or to go in there and actually see a registered nurse who's a specialist in geriatric medicine. Make sure they're taking their medications. They tell them about any health concerns that they may have. That paid, all that stuff is paid for. And on top of that, they still may have Medicare. So if they, you know, if their cable is already paid for and all of that, and all they got left is $300, shit, they like, shit. Some of them even get rid of their cars and just get on them. You see them little buses? They have them little short buses that, you know, like the rental car place type buses. And they take them to activities that are not on site. They got a real nice bus. Them people be done sold their cars. They're like, shit, I'm 85 years old. I don't need to be driving around. My meals are taken care of. And no places will give you it. It ain't like no slop house. It ain't like no cafeteria where they just, you here, nigga, you just going to eat this. No, you get a meal plan with a dietitian. And they put the order in and say, okay, this person's diabetic. You know, they on insulin. They only supposed to have so much sweet or so much salt and pepper on. Because some might say, I don't want any seasonings because I got high blood pressure. So it just depends on the needs of the client. But they got all that type of shit. But the thing is, looking forward, and I know I spent a minute on geriatrics, but I said that to say this. See, I'm at that age where, you know, I can go ahead and even get out of living in apartments or houses and say I want to live at a assisted living place, even though I physically don't look as old as those people look. The only thing that's old on me is I got, you know, my eyes have started getting darker around my eyes again. That went away actually when I changed my diet. But that's also aging. The only thing that really make me look old is my, you know, my goatee is damn near all white. That's the only difference. But I don't look good on these cameras. It make me look older. If you see me in person, I don't look this old. But it makes my eyes look dark. Cause I'll be looking at, sometimes I'll go back and look at these live streams. I'm like, damn, they got me looking crazy. I said, damn, am I gonna have to go get some Fashion Fair makeup? And pay somebody to come over here and put some makeup on me? Damn. They got me looking like I'm about 65. And I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, damn, I don't look that old. That's why I still get play from young sexy things. Because I'm in decent shape. I never let, look, I was telling a life coaching client a few minutes ago before we came on the air. I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, I don't never let my body get so far out of shape during any time of the year where I can't get in the gym for a week and bounce back. Y'all see what I'm saying? Like, I went, man, I made a mistake yesterday. I got my eyes are bigger than my stomach. I went and got some Krispy Kreme donuts because ain't no Krispy Kreme stores on the Washington side. So I was on the Oregon side yesterday and I went over there. There's a Krispy Kreme near where my doctor's office is. So when I came out of there, I said, man, let me give me some Krispy Kreme. So I went over there and got me some Krispy Kreme. And I right off the bat, I said, I want a dozen donuts. I don't never eat a dozen donuts, my greedy ass. And I had just left Whole Foods. Well, you know, Ho's got a grocery shop too, you know. I just came out of there buying oatmeal cookies. I ain't had my oatmeal cookie fix in a minute. So I had to get some of that. I forgot that, damn, I got these cookies in there. My eyes were wet because I went in there hungry. I just ate a banana, and I did a little workout yesterday, and, you know, I guess I did more work than I thought I did. And I was getting kind of hungry. So my eyes were bigger than my stomach. But anyway, I got some real rich donuts, too. You know, Krispy Kreme rich anyway. All that sugar in there. I think they put more sugar in their donuts. Because although I do like Randy's Donuts in L.A., they like in the top 10 best donut shops in the country. He said a hand job. Y'all niggas crazy. Hey, say, hey, they might be, hey, but you know, grandpa, them old ass Caucasian people that be in there, shit, you know, they dick don't work no more. Hell, they dick done stop working at 35. Shit. I be seeing them white dudes in there getting them low T shots. They be shitting. They late 20s getting that shit. You don't see no niggas in there though. Cause we tear pussy up till, you know, we have a goddamn heart attack at 90. We still getting a hard dick. We might not do no pumping, but we'll sit back on that recliner like this and be like, all right, then. All right, Nurse Jenkins. And he letting the chair take all that shock absorption. He just, you know, guiding that back. Make sure that thing, she dropped that thing exactly where she needed to drop it. Yes, eggs. This is Triple Cast Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. We're on Facebook Live, YouTube live stream, and also blogtalkradio.com/TheIcemanShow. The guest call-in number, if you want to be on the air, I think we got a little less than an hour. Yeah, we got 49 minutes if you want to be on the hour. I mean, you want to be on the show live, give us a call. The guest call-in number is 646-668-2291. And hit option 1 if you want to be on the air. You digs? This is $10 Saturday. $10 donation Saturday. I want to try to raise maybe let's shoot for 200. Let's shoot for 200. We're at 100 actually. So, and I want to thank everybody that donated. Brown Sauces, thank you, brother. Love you, man. Appreciate it. Everybody that donated today, thank you. Appreciate it. And by the way, Facebook, if you want to support the cause, go to my website at one of my websites at asktheiceman.com. Scroll down to the donate button, and it'll take you right to my PayPal nonprofit 501c3 website where you need to go and help us out. Okay, so that's what's popping. I'm always a long range thinker. I'm always thinking 3 to 5 years down the road. I'm always thinking 3 to 5 steps per year down the road. Where am I going to be? And I'm also much more concerned about that being that I'm getting older. And again, for a person over 40, time is very valuable to us. You start thinking like that. That's emotional development. You start thinking about what your legacy is going to be. Even though you're still in the moment of today, you're still thinking 3 or 4, 10 years down the road. Where am I going to be? Do I need to go to an assisted living facility? Do I want to live in a neighborhood where there's badass kids or possibly somebody got a crackhead son or daughter? I got to think about that kind of stuff more so than if I was 35. When I was 35, I wasn't thinking about none of that. I was only thinking about go to work, go take care of my children, go see my kids, and get somebody over there to the house to drop it like it's hot. That's all I was thinking about at 35. I wasn't thinking about no legacy. Man, I be going through these chapsticks, boy. It's dry air. Be drying my lips out. So if you blowing all your money chasing gold diggers and you 30 years old, no kids, you ain't thinking about no legacy. You thinking about the, you know, next time I'm going to get laid. And who it's going to be? Is it, you know, you think about, well, who's going to get over here and work with no hands? Who's going to I can drop, okay? Pop, lock, and drop, okay? You try to get somebody over there to the house, or you try to get over her house, you digs, and beat that thing up. But you don't, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You don't think about, damn, you know, did I waste some time? That's why if you notice, I'm always talking about value your time. Even as a young man, value your time, because women will never value your time. They can be your wife and they don't value your time. You're in there trying to work on your dissertation for your PhD and your wife will be coming in there. Hey, baby, you know what happened to work at work, you know, with to me today? Do you know that bitch Janice did X, Y, Z? You sitting there like, God damn. Women do not value time at all. It takes a life-changing illness or some other type of physically traumatic situation to make them start valuing time. But normally, they don't value time. That's why they don't have a problem wasting yours. And I try to tell cats that. You sitting up here, guys, you internet niggas, you niggas that grew up with the internet, y'all mentality is, if I send 100 messages to the same chick on Facebook, after a while, she's going to want me. And I'm like, no, nigga. She's going to block your ass after about the third or fourth message. She already conveyed to you that she ain't interested. And you're going to sit up here and think if you just persist that she's just going to break down and you're going to ride off with the princess at the end of the movie. And I'm like, nigga, get the fuck out of here. That's not how it works. You're being a nuisance. See, I grew up in the players back in my day, in the 60s and 70s, cats was like, you know, if you approach a woman, if you're not what she's looking for, she's gonna let you know right off the bat. And black men back when in my day, we got used to that. Rejection was part of the game. But it wasn't no big deal. You just shook that shit off and kept it moving. Okay, well, let me holler at the next honey. That's what we did. We go to the mall, holler at a bunch of chicks. Sometimes I get two or three numbers. Sometimes I ain't get shit. Sometimes I got a number, but it was a bunk-ass number, which is what we used to call them. You call the number, and it's like Aaron's a home rental. I'm like, what? But girls did that back in the day. Maybe they didn't have the heart to tell you, hey, I'm not interested in you, Iceman. But I didn't take rejection like some of you little nigger nerds do. Y'all get rejected and you kill yourself. If it was somebody I really wanted and it didn't work out, I was disappointed. But I didn't want to kill myself. I was just like, I felt bad maybe a couple of hours. Later on that day, I was like, who? Where'd I meet this chick at? I mean, I forgot about her ass. As a young man, you're active. Back in my day, without the internet, we had to get out there and spit. You had to get out there and get in front of a woman's face and spit. And if she saw you had heart, even if she felt she was out of your league, sometimes I've gotten women who are out of my league because they were surprised I spit. I wasn't scared. But you guys grow up in an era where you soft because you done been raised by a woman instead of a man. So you think like a woman. So you do irritating attention whore stuff that either gonna get, you know, either had a bitch going out here getting a restraining order against your ass, or you fuck around and end up in jail, or you kill yourself. Ain't none of them an option. You'll sit up there and keep hounding women. If she ain't interested, she'll let you know. Sometimes your bitch will turn around. She won't even turn around and look at you. Because she done already seen your ass. Women check out all the guys that come in the room just like we check out all the women that come in the room. They just do it in a slicker way. I've had women tell me at work, the few times I did date women at work, they've told me I've been interested in you ever since I got there. But I didn't want to be obvious in the workplace. And it took a while before I took the hints, where I realized this woman really wanted to holler at me. I thought she was just being friendly, because I'm not one of these dudes. I don't assume just because somebody speak to me that they want to be my wifey. Some women are just nice like that. Although we are increasingly living in a society where people have no manners. People don't speak unless they want something. That's why, you know, growing up mostly on the West Coast, you got so many gaming motherfuckers out there. You learn to not get hustled. When you live in cities like Chicago, L.A., Detroit, Cleveland, Philly, New York City, Newark, Boston, you done been around motherfuckers trying to run game. So, and 99.9% of them have been to your detriment. So you ain't gonna just let somebody step to you and waste your time. You got your bullshit meter is very active, unlike people who may come from somebody from like a sorry ass city like Stank Antonio. Excuse me, for those of you who are just looking at my show or listening to my show, that means San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo. It's, you know, San Antonio is an armpit city. Most cities that are in the Southwest are, you know, especially when you have large Mexican, either illegal or legal immigrant population, the city tends, you know, be in disrepair. And its facilities, I mean, other than the airport, they'll put money into it. They'll make sure that airport look right. They'll spend some money on the airport, won't spend money on nothing else. No other public works projects projects that should be working on. That's why San Antonio be flooding all the damn time. Almost every year, when they had them big rains, kind of like damn near a monsoon, it rains a whole lot like for like a week or two or even more and start flooding the sewer systems. People's houses be flooded. Areas, you know, there's so many little dips in some of the roads in San Antonio, that thing fill up with water, it's 20 feet. Because they done dug under the water table. In order to make that bridge, they had to dig or have that road continue. They had to dig into the ground where the water table is. Everything below the water table is going to flood. It's going to create a bottom, like a lake or ocean or river. Instead of staying up over the road, I mean, staying level with the road or below where the road is. When you have shitty filtration systems like San Antonio does, the city floods. See, Dallas is spending probably $1 trillion in the next last five or six years. Putting in new freeways and shit and you can't even drive through I-35 through Dallas, especially doing between, 5 or 6 in the morning to about 9 or 10 at night. Good luck trying to get through Dallas right now. One time it took me 5 hours. The traffic was so backed up on 35. I just got off the freeway. Went to a Sam's Club, got gas. I filled up. Talked to a couple people on the phone. And then when it started moving again, I got back on the freeway. They don't want to spend no damn money. They ain't got no light. Big as that city is, San Antonio is the seventh largest city in the country. They bigger than Dallas in area, but yet they don't even have no light rail. Dallas got light rail. It's kind of limited. It's better than it's more that, you know, it's bigger than what Houston got. I think Houston only got 2 or 3 lines. They only go from certain affluent areas through it all the way to downtown. But anyway, inside the mind of a gold digger's mentality. It's a psychopathology. First of all, let me start there. It's a psychopathology. And I'm going to get into this in detail in the Dating Bible, my second book. My first book is The Game of Life According to the Iceman, Volume 1. This is my first book. My second book, The Dating Bible, I'm writing that right now. But you get this right now. You get this directly from me, get it autographed, I'll send it to you, or you get them shits from Amazon.com. You can also get in tablet and Kindle format. I'm gonna talk about that in ad nauseum in the Dating Bible. And gold diggers are sociopaths. They have a pathological cognitive processing or cognitive behavioral processing of their attitude is pathological, means it's abnormal. They if there's some type of daddy issues, daddy wasn't there, daddy was there temporarily, or they don't know their daddy, so they hate men, but they're still heterosexual. We're going to get into the psychosocial and psychological cognitive processing that gets them to think like that. Why do they have this pathological way of seeing society, meaning men in society. So they get this mentality that all men are tools theory, that all men, because they're all tools and they're all the same, they are to be used and abused and taken out of the toolbox when needed. So, and the only kind of relationships, long-term relationships they can get into is with simps who allow them to do whatever they want to do like a little child. Whenever they get with it, see, they avoid men like me who are going to say no. I'm going to say no. If they say, well, I want to be able to go out to breakfast, lunch, and dinner all day, every day. And I'm going to say no, because I got other things to do besides going. And when you go to restaurants like that and you're eating omelets in the morning, you ain't going to go one. Hey, all I eat in the morning is a banana. Do you really think I'm going to go to a restaurant and eat a banana? No, I'm going to eat food I don't normally eat. I'm going to get me an omelet. I'm going to get a damn omelet like they serve over there in, I was about to say Essential Suites. I was going to say Embassy Suites. That's why I stay there, because I know I'm going to get me an omelet. But I ain't going to fix that at home. Here's how we got to look at things. I mean, no, I'll get to that last. Inside the mind of a gold digger. So she sees all men as tools. And, that you know, there's always, she has no emotion. She has no emotional connection to these men. She only hangs around long enough to get resources out of them. That's pathological thinking. You digs? And so she's not going to deal with a man like me until she gets too old to run. She hits that wall. By the way, we're going to do a show all in the Player Circle podcast. We're going to do a whole show, a whole broadcast on that. We got 28 minutes left on Blog Talk Radio. Why you guys scared to call in? Man, y'all niggas scared, man. Oh, scary niggas. Oh, scary niggas. Exactly. If you have not donated today, donate. $10 Saturday. Let's go, people. I see my man Timmy Diamonds in the house. When can I get those ends, homie? When can I expect those ends? I'm telling y'all, man. When it comes to dealing with females, especially gold diggers, you need to have your ducks in a row, because she's going to come with her A-game. She has to compensate for the emotional side that is excluded. So it's all business for her. That's why I told y'all in the Trumponomics era, dating is a business to me. And it ought to be to you. Because if you don't think so, then you're gonna get a bunch of women dining and dashing on at your expense. And they never commit to anything other than when can they get another free drink and dinner out of you. Some of y'all don't mind getting beat up. Some of you guys don't mind. You don't mind getting your ass kicked out here in society by these women. I don't know about you, but I don't believe in getting my ass kicked if I don't need to. Apparently, some of y'all don't mind these women kicking your ass out here. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop the show right here. And until Timmy Diamonds donate $10 today, then we're going to go ahead and pause. Keep it locked right here. It's the Iceman Show, the Player's Circle, Inside the Mind of a Gold Digger. Be right back at you, the Player Circle. This is the Player Circle. We're talking about inside the mind of a gold digger. Yeah, it's definitely tricking season. It is tricking season. It's also cuffing season. Cats like to start cuffing. And these brothers up here be cuffing beyond the call of duty to cuff. Okay? Straight up. You hear me? But gold diggers are sociopathic, and their mentality is such that all men owe them something. All men are tricks, potential tricks to them. Every man is to be used. That's their mentality. And if you put that at the center of their character and move and work outward, you know that everything else means nothing if they are sociopathic. Now, that could be brought on, that could be even exacerbated by having a mental disorder, like maybe borderline personality disorder. That's going to even add to it. Women are not born selfish. Women are the psychology behind most girls is to be sharing. That's where that mother, you know, wanting to nurture everything comes from. Playing with little baby dolls when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They're not selfish by nature. They're nurtured into being that way by growing up in a house with a mother that's a whore, that's got a whorish mentality. You use men, use what you got to get what you want type black women or women, period. Because Caucasian women are the originators of that bullshit. They teach their daughters to be pretty and elegant and classy, at least they used to. You know, good girls don't poop. I mean, good girls don't fart, they poop. Y'all see where I'm going with this? That's what they used to say back in my day. Now, you sitting there thinking, what's the difference between a poop and a fart? Well, I'll say this. If you would even sit there and fix your mind, even sit there and think of some think about some shit like that, you's a dumb nigga. If you have to sit there and ponder that shit for longer than a half a second, something is wrong with you. But they teach their daughters to be cutesy and you know, fake feminine and, you know, all that other stuff, and then just do the horse stuff and just be a total, you know, gluttony of different abnormal behaviors, as long as they don't let that shit get to the surface where everybody else finds out about it and embarrass the family, they don't care. But you get women who subscribe to this frame of mind because it is not necessarily because they're trying to survive. They're doing it because that's, you know, they have a twisted sense of what the world or how the world is supposed to be. Y'all see where I'm going with this? You may see the world as a place that we need to take care of. They see the world as a place to just be somewhere to fuck up in it. That's their mentality. And that is taught to them girls by either watching their mothers and aunts and grandmamas act like that, act like, you know, who, you know, be women who subscribe to whore culture, because we're living in a whore era. That's why these women push so much for this, you know, stupid shit like Me Too and all that type of shit to try to get federal money where they can, you know, go out here and continue to castrate men. And if you don't know any better and you sitting up here rooting this shit on, you need your ass kicked. That's why I tell guys to look below the surface. That's what the Iceman show is. That's what I do. I'm there to pull the wool off from over your eyes so you can see this world the way it is, not the way you want it to be. But here on the Player Circle podcast, this is about dating and relationships. Okay? But the mentality of these girls, their mothers are teaching them by example, or they're actually giving them game, holding classes on how to, you know, fleece men. And that's why, and then they're going to teach their daughters how to be a hoe, like they were and grandma was. I mean, it's pathetic, but it is what it is. It's pathetic. You're thinking, well, nobody thinks that pathological. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they might even be in your family. Some of these women are ridiculous. You think they got you think somebody has a hostage taker, it has demands. Shit. Sit around and listen to these women. Listen to the demands they have. Girl, if he don't do this or have that, you know, I ain't talk to him. When you hear this shit come out their mouth, now you'll believe me. You'll be like, oh, I believe him now. Because I think some of you guys are so inexperienced with women, you don't, this stuff is just going over your head. Because this is getting into the operation of somebody's mind, somebody who's sick. And when I break all that Freud and all that stuff down to where it's layman's terms, and I present it to you, some of y'all still ain't gonna get it because you haven't lived through it. Sometimes you gotta live through stuff. I remember I had a class, it was the last class I had to take. We had to do like a thesis in that class of everything, the whole 3 years that we've been in that program. And so I took the psychotherapy option. So I had to explain how, if somebody had this diagnosis, how would I, as a practitioner, how would I guide that therapy process? Well, I had never done it other than in a practicum setting underneath of an instructor. I still hadn't had those things happen to me that are in some of these case studies. What do you do if you have a client who flies over your desk and start, you know, commits to whooping your ass? You have to give an argument as to what do you plan on doing other than writing down, I'm probably going to get my ass whooped. That's a conclusion. We know your ass going to end up getting towed. What we want to know is, what are you doing between the time this motherfucker jump your bones and You living to talk about it. What are you going to do to get this motherfucker off you? Are you going to hit that button underneath the desk? Are you going to, you know, go into Krav Maga mode? Are you going to turn into Bruce Leroy? People want, inquiring minds want to know. And you have, as funny as that sounds, you have to make an argument. What am I going to do? Am I going to use some of the moves I learned in self-defense class? I'm going to kick him in his balls. Well, then you need to write, I'm going to kick him in his balls. Then what you going to do if that doesn't repel him all the way until you can get help? You have to explain all that because you may end up being in a situation like that. I have had instructors, professors who said that they had clients who jumped across the desk and commenced to whooping their ass. And they had to make a move. And then, two, some employers have provisions in the employee handbook that say that you are under no circumstances, even if they commenced to whooping your ass, do you fight back? Because you might hurt the client and then they sue up. So you got to let them tear off in your ass for however long they tearing off in it or up in it until you can get help. And somebody see this motherfucker tearing your ass up. I'm telling you, man, there's employers out there that straight up say, you are under no circumstance, hit this motherfucker back. He got to tell you, you got to let tan off and your ass run its course. Y'all think I'm bullshitting, man. Y'all think I'm bullshitting. They be having procedures. They be like, hey, this motherfucker come in here and you a teller at a bank. What you supposed to do? You supposed to just give them the money. Okay, give them the money. Make sure you give them that ink money. But give them the money because this money is insured. But if you decide you're going to hop over that damn teller window and commit to whooping his ass, and then he, even though he gonna still end up going to prison, he going to sue you. Because what did the employee handbook say? Give them the money. What did you do? Try to use them judo moves you learned in junior karate class. That ain't what they told you to do. And I might be making light of it, but if you were really in a situation like that, that shit ain't funny. Whatever money you make, I hope that you have better plans for your money than giving money to a gold digger. Because no matter what, it's safe to say that most gold diggers, even if they don't like you or don't like what you look like, some of them will stick to the contract, which is that you're supposed to give him that pootie. He's supposed to be able to get all up in you. That's the trade-off here. And most gold diggers, based on research, their mentality is, I don't mind giving. I figure that's a gimme. That's a gimme that I'm gonna give them some pussy. So they reserve their mind to. Okay, I gotta look at it this way. He, I'm just going to have to fuck this dude. They've already...